Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren from WFIU, WTIU News. With me this week, Bloomington Mayor Carrie Thompson. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you keeping the tradition going in Bloomington, having you as a guest. I'm sure it's been a whirlwind these first 2 months. Just fill us in just a little bit on this transition process, how it's been going, since this is the first time we've had you on this show.
Sure. The transition's going well. We have just an incredible team here at the city, both those who are transitioning from the former administration and those who are joining for the first time on January 1st. So we have we really have had such a good time. Deputy Mayor Knapp and I have done listening sessions with all of the departments in the city now. And of course, we have been really working on this 100-day plan to get some movement behind my priorities while I'm in office.
So fill people in what that means, 100-day plan.
So the 100-day plan is really how do we get moving forward in the first 100 days in office? And that's really critical because in any city, there's really plenty to do. And if you're not focused on ensuring that that your priorities and that your strategic initiatives are in place and up and running, then they can frequently get lost just to day-to-day business. And so we have a 100-day plan that is set to really get us up and running as a new administration, do several audits, which I'm sure viewers have heard about. We're looking at everything from all of our legal litigation to our finances and processes, making sure that we have everything really moving in the right direction. And then, of course, my three campaign promises. The big ones are housing that's affordable for people who work here, an open government that is responsive to the people, and public safety, especially as it pertains to mental health and substance use.
You mentioned a little bit about housing. Something that you had to face right away when you got here was the homeless people experiencing homelessness. It's been a month or so now since then. Is that something that you've been really focusing in on as well?
I have, and it's something that as residents of Bloomington, we see every day. But I've had an opportunity now to work side by side with not only our city team that works with people who are experiencing street homelessness in particular, but just last week I did a listening session at New Hope for Families with families that are living there. And I've met with a couple of the residents at who are currently residing in one of our largest homeless encampments to talk to them about what we can do to really reduce the number of people who are experiencing street homelessness and to serve people so that they really have the opportunities to begin to operate at the top of their human license.
A lot of the underlying issues we saw of moving these camps, is that really solving the problem? And what's the strategy to not just move, but try to help?
No, moving camps is not a strategy.
Yeah.
And the only reason that we have done it is when the camps become particularly unsafe. And what we need actually is a strategy to get people housed in one way or another. And so we will work on a plan that ensures that we can say to everybody who's from Bloomington, we have a place for you to stay tonight. And that if you're not able to accept that, what we also need is a robust enough physical and mental health support system so that we can offer them care, because that's what people really need, is recovery care from mental health and substance use.
Something very similar in all of the cities we go to talk about the exact same thing.
It's not
just a problem here.
That's right. And you know, there are people living on the streets who are not exhibiting signs of extreme mental health crisis or addiction. But by and large, especially for people who will be declining to go into shelter, that's what we're going to need.
So you mentioned about the internal review of city government. I think those results have come out.
Some of them.
Or at least some. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what you found out? Anything surprising? Anything that you think needs attention?
Sure. I'll first just say that that unless you've been the mayor before, you're going to be surprised by what you find when you are the mayor. So, there have been things that that we didn't know about, and we're still sort of processing where we are with things and how to really put things in place so that we can move forward really with a plan that is best for our city in several different instances. So. We're just in the beginning stages of our financial audit, though. So that will tell us what resources we have to solve some problems that both ones that we knew about and those that we didn't.
This also took a look at litigation as well, including, of course, the big topic in the city is annexation.
That's right.
Did you find anything new about that?
About annexation?
Yeah.
I have a deeper understanding now of the intricacies of annexation. And, I have said from the beginning that I wish that annexation had included county residents in the conversation sooner. I remain open to talking to county residents and those opposed to annexation about things that we might be able to discuss in terms of timelines or other things that may make annexation more amenable should it go through.
I've seen in previous reporting, I think the Herald Times did something recently on this too, that you said you're moving forward with the current annexation lawsuits. The city isn't backing out and let this play out in the courts. There was supposed to be a court date a week or so ago that was canceled last minute.
Right.
So now I believe the next is waiting on, there's two different lawsuits going through in April.
That's right.
It's a 5-day trial. So how can you move forward, getting the county and city residents together if this does go forward?
Well, I think that, obviously if it goes forward, having really open meetings where people live now, so going to find the nearest library or, community building that we can find to have listening sessions, but also to answer questions. And all throughout the annexation process, I've been hearing things that just simply are, I think, misunderstandings. But there are also some valid concerns that we may be able to address. And so I'm interested in those. And it's hard to get everybody to the table, but it's not rocket science to make yourself available.
So let's see if we can get an update on the city-county interlocal agreement for the convention center expansion. It was passed by the county council. I believe, is that back now on your desk?
It's not yet because the commissioners are set to review it tomorrow. I did talk to Commissioner Githens last night, and she said she fully expects that they will be approving it and that it is their priority to get this moving. So I expect that it actually has been back to my desk because the commissioners sent it back for some revisions, which were agreeable to us. So then it went to county council, now commissioners, and then the final route will be back to city council.
I believe they took out a portion about appointments to the convention visitors commission that was in there before. So you've seen what they have done, and so far you're on board with it as well.
Yes. I mean, we've had some discussion about wording of things and how to work some of these intricacies, and they're all important. A good contract is worth its weight in gold, so we want to get it right, but I think we're all ready to see this move forward.
We'd love any update to the momentum progress of the police fire headquarters to Showers West. Mm-hmm. We know selling the current police station is dead for now.
It is dead.
Is that true?
And I actually have met with the families of the donors from that from the property, and they are very clear that they want it that property to be used for park or public use, and so it will remain dead. The sale of that, I believe, it will not be an issue we'll take back up unless those donors would have a change of heart.
So the current plan would be to move the just the fire headquarters here to this building, which we're in right now.
That is likely to happen. That hasn't been decided for sure.
Okay.
But we do have a space for them now that is really pretty ready. We could do some small modifications. The fire chief and deputy chief and the mobile integrated health folks are all really pleased with that. So I would expect that's probably something that's going to happen. But as you may know, tomorrow night during the city council time, I will be having a collaboration meeting with the full council as well as members of that Showers West advisory team.
So does that give us a little bit of clue then to what might happen with the police headquarters right now?
The clue is that this team will be collaborating about what the future holds. You know, I think it didn't make a lot of sense, especially with the bids the way we got them, to put the police over at Showers West. But there were some important priorities that some council members in particular had when they thought about putting police over at Showers West, and that was to integrate public safety with some other pieces of government. I do think that it's important to have really a full 21st century vision for public safety, and that would be a vision in my mind that works upstream, and where our law enforcement and those that are responding to emergencies are working hand in hand with those that are trying to prevent them.
So I did want to ask you about what your interaction is or will be with the City Council. How does that work? How does communication work with your administration and the City Council?
Very openly. I am showing up at every meeting that I have a substantive update for them. I don't want to waste anybody's time standing at the mic. But so far, the majority of the council meetings I have attended and given updates and received questions. I think, you know, the more the administration and council can willingly share very transparent communication, the better off we're going to be. I've met with several council members already one-on-one. In addition to the, I met with almost all of them before I was mayor, and by phone frequently, just based on what they're working on and what their interests are. I'm trying to include them if my work touches something that they're going to be impacted by. Additionally, we have named council members to each of the advisory teams that we've stood up so far, the Showers West and the Hopewell.
So let's just talk a little bit about the plan and closing part of State Road 37 to drivers, just because the Historic Preservation Commission is supposed to vote on something on that on Thursday.
That's right.
What's your take on that?
Well, the Historic Preservation Commission is taking the approach that if we protect it historically, the road will remain closed. I think that's an interesting idea. It's not clear whether or not legally that will hold up, but I know that we have a lot of residents who are passionate on both sides of that issue. Close it or keep it open, and I know we've also done a survey that was pretty clear that the majority of respondents really wanted it open.
So is that kind of what your administration is pushing for?
My administration's not pushing for anything yet, but my administration will always be for listening to the people, discerning what's best for the community based on that and data, and then leading the way forward for a resolution.
So I know we're just a little bit over on time, but I always like to leave the last minute to you, the mayor, if you have any announcements, anything that you'd like to say?
Sure. Yeah. One thing that we haven't touched on yet is that we have now put together an advisory team for Hopewell. Hopewell, of course, is the old hospital site, and it is targeted to be a very significant housing development, probably upwards of 800 units. Mm-hmm. That's badly needed workforce housing for our downtown, for people to live, work, and play right here. Also of note is this deal, I understand, has been delivered over to the Trades District.
And I see it going up.
We're really excited. So that's ahead of schedule now. And I'm really pleased at the economic development possibilities that are being created right here.
And as we speak too, buildings are coming down at the Hopewell
area.
That's right. So when you say that there's a group that's overseeing that or looking at it, they're giving recommendations on how to use that area, even though there's a plan per se.
So there's a master plan.
Yeah.
And the master plan is really a grand vision for what we would like to see. And then and it's been segmented actually into several different parts, which are supposed to be bid out separately. It has a lot of goals, and with goals always come restrictions. And it's just very expensive to meet all of those goals. So we're looking at it to see, you know, what does the city need to get back? What can we possibly incentivize some developers with to get a great housing product that is great to live near and that attracts the families and individuals that need to live or want to live close to downtown?
Thank you so much for doing this. We'll see you again next month.
Great. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.